Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. Today's Thursday, March 21st. I'm Stephen Overly. The U.S. is locked in a global race over chips. And yesterday, it bet on its winning horse, Intel. Wednesday's deal will provide Intel with a mix of subsidies, grants, and tax credits in exchange for building new manufacturing and research facilities in the U.S. Combined, Intel's haul could be worth as much as $44.5 billion. The deal is most clearly a victory for Intel and its CEO, Pat Gelsinger, who personally lobbied for Congress and the White House to give U.S. chipmakers a financial boost as part of the Chips and Science Act. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo called Intel, quote, America's championship company. And she told reporters that the subsidies in the deal, which total $8.5 billion, would be the largest amount awarded to any company. And President Joe Biden sees the deal as a political winner, too. He visited an Intel facility in Chandler, Arizona, on Wednesday afternoon to tout the agreement, choosing a swing state where he's sure to face a contest from former President Donald Trump in November. My colleague Brendan Bordelon has been all over this story and joins me on Politico Tech today to break down why this Intel deal really matters. Brendan, welcome back to Politico Tech.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So the Biden administration has been slowly rolling out these funding deals with chip makers, but it seems like this is the one everybody has been waiting for. I mean, is there any surprise that Intel is the really big victor here?
It's not. And yeah, Intel definitely got the largest slice of the pie. That is the scuttlebutt from the Commerce Department. Yesterday, Secretary Gina Raimondo said this is the biggest grant that they plan to give any chipmaker, even though they still have a lot of spending left to go. Intel's really been instrumental in this entire process from day one. They were crisscrossing Capitol Hill. Their CEO, Pat Gelsinger, really was a fixture in Washington for months and months on end ahead of the 2022 passage of this legislation. And again, he was not afraid to really play hardball with Congress and the rest of Washington. There was a moment towards the tail end of the debate on chips and science in 2022 where it looked like maybe Congress wasn't going to get across the finish line. And he actually delayed this big planned groundbreaking of a big chip facility in Ohio ahead of the midterms, really a sort of a warning shot to Washington, like, hey, I'm happy to help you guys out, but I'm also happy to cause you guys some problems if you don't get this legislation across the finish line. So I think it was largely assumed that there was going to be some sort of a very, you know, sweet deal for Intel at the end of this. In part, I think, is sort of payback for all the help that the company and Gelsinger personally gave to kind of get this legislation across the finish line.
Well, yeah, like you said, I mean, they certainly played hardball and they played a smart game, I guess, because if Intel gets the full amount of money that's up for grabs here, I mean, it is a really significant windfall we're talking about.
It is.
I mean, how risky do you think this is for the administration to like place a large bet on one chip maker?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm sure the administration would say they're not placing a bet on just one chip maker, right? And to be fair, there is $39 billion worth of manufacturing subsidies in this legislation. Intel is getting $8.5 billion of that. That is the largest slice. So it's the $8.5 billion, and then it's an $11 million loan on top of that. Intel's theoretically going to pay that loan back. They have tax credits, so 25% of anything that they invest in terms of machinery, in terms of facilities, they can claw that back. And then this is all separate as well from a $3.5 billion earmark that Congress recently put in legislation for what they're calling a secure enclave for Intel to build advanced microchips for the Defense Department or for the intelligence agencies. So again, we're looking at like upwards of $25 billion coming Intel's way in the near future. It's a pretty significant bet on one company. Intel is, I think, you know, indisputably the largest American headquartered chip maker in the world. That's not necessarily like the most impressive thing like it was 20 or 30 years ago, because I think a lot of folks would say that the Asian companies, particularly TSMC, that's the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Corporation, and Samsung, which is in Korea, I think people would say that those two companies have really been eating Intel's lunch for the last 15 or 20 years. So it is a risk. The whole point of this legislation is to try to reverse some of that and make sure that American companies, or at least companies operating in America, again, they could be foreign, are able to make these chips. You know, there's national security reasons for that. There's supply chain reasons for that. There's no guarantee it's going to work. The Commerce Department is saying it's driving a lot of private sector investment. They said without this money, Intel wouldn't have sunk upwards of $100 million into a variety of facilities in the U.S. But there are still a lot of hurdles that these companies in Washington are going to have to surmount in order for this to work. And they're not all money related.
A couple of really interesting points there because, you know, as you said, Intel is not necessarily on the cutting edge of chips globally, but they're probably the biggest American player. And when Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo was announcing this deal, she referred to Intel as America's championship company. And it just sort of struck me because, as you note, Commerce Department is in negotiations with TSMC and Samsung, two foreign companies arguably farther ahead on chips technologically, but have also announced plans for all this U.S. manufacturing. What do you make of those comments, America's championship company?
Yeah. Well, it's actually not the first time that she's made this point. She probably meant to say like America's champion company, but you know, she said that several times in the past, that Intel is sort of the flagship, you know, U.S. standard bearer for the chip industry. You know, I have my own thoughts on this, but I can also just point to comments that the Federal Trade Commission chair, Lina Khan, made last week. She said that relying on a national champion creates supply weaknesses and taxpayer liabilities, but it also creates geopolitical vulnerabilities that can be exploited both by global partners and rivals. That was at a speech she gave last Wednesday at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Kind of interesting because she's also a member of the Biden administration, and she's here saying, hey, maybe we shouldn't put all our eggs in the national champion basket. And yet you have the Commerce Secretary, again, you know, I think touting a line that is broadly shared in the administration that, hey, you know, this is at some level the point of the CHIPS Act, right? We want to empower U.S. companies to build things in America. We let that slip for too long, outsourcing and the whole thing, and now we're bringing it back. But it inevitably is going to come with those kind of risks that other people, other officials in the administration are raising. And I think, to your point earlier about TSMC and Samsung, they're probably not going to love this. I think this has long been a concern with the foreign chip makers that Intel or another company headquartered in the United States was going to get the lion's share of this money. I do think Samsung and TSMC are likely to get a pretty sweet deal. They have operations in the United States as well. There's sort of been fits and starts with those, but just like with Intel, and the same sort of structural issues apply. So workforce and I think environmental permitting being the two big ones. But yeah, I think Washington's going to try to diversify at some level, but this is a lot of money to one company. And it does raise, I think, some concerns that you will hear voiced from a variety of different sources in Washington and beyond.
I mean, my mind when I heard it, frankly, flashed to China pouring gobs of money into its own companies, which are often referred to as national champions.
Yeah.
And the U.S. has criticized that often in the past. Is like anyone pointing that out?
I mean, not so much on Capitol Hill these days. You know, I think mostly because Congress has moved on, at least for now, on chips. I will say that, and maybe I shouldn't, but you know, this does strike me as, I think, on a lot of variety of tech issues, it seems like Washington is sort of starting to follow the Chinese model for one reason or another. So, you know, the chip subsidies are one thing. I think people would make this argument that the effort to ban TikTok is in some level similar to Chinese efforts to prevent U.S. tech companies from operating in their country because of propaganda concerns about data security. For whatever reason, Washington does seem to have looked at some of the Chinese successes of the last two decades, particularly in the technology space, and said, hey, there's something we can learn here. What's interesting is actually when you look at China, they're actually at some level going back to the kind of the way that we ran things like 20 years ago on things like research policy. I think parts of the Chinese government at least have sort of seen some of the limits to the national champion model and how it can sort of promote the ossification in certain industries. So it's kind of funny. It's like two ships sort of passing in the night on tech policy. You know, we go towards the more Chinese model. China goes more towards the U.S. model. It'll be interesting to see how things end up. But yeah, I think it's a fair point to make. And I think you'll certainly hear folks on like the more libertarian and maybe the more progressive end of the spectrum sometimes make those arguments that it's not a great idea to pour gobs of money into a handful of corporations that are pretty closely tied to Washington and the government.
We'll be right back. You mentioned how TSMC and Samsung are unlikely to be happy with this announcement. You know, both of those companies have delayed plans to open chip fabs in the U.S. pending their own subsidies from the Biden administration. With this announcement, is there concern that those plans may not come to fruition or certainly as originally expected?
I think it's probably too early to say. And I think the Commerce Department is almost, like I said, you know, certain to give them some money. I think they're probably quite far along in conversations about their specific plans. TSMC famously has a facility in Arizona that it's trying to get off the ground. They have not been quite as good of a team player compared to Intel. And I'll say, you know, Pat Gelsinger was very key to get this legislation across the finish line. He was actually one of the guests of honor at Biden's 2022 State of the Union.
Right.
He, you know, held this rally in the fall of 2022 after the CHIPS Act passed for the president and some Ohio lawmakers. It essentially turned into like a campaign rally. So he's actually done quite a bit to help the administration and help Congress move this along. TSMC has been kind of a pain. They keep complaining about the U.S. workforce. For a while, they were going to be bringing in Taiwanese laborers. You know, I think because they said basically like U.S. workers are not cutting it. There's probably some truth to that. But at the same time, I'm sure that's not exactly what the Biden administration wanted to hear. They have continued to delay this project. So I don't want to say that that's in any way driving any of this, but it is a data point. And I think, you know, Samsung as well, they're not as adept necessarily as Intel or an American company at navigating the sort of back and forth in Washington. And I think that might be part of what you're seeing here. That said, they are some of the best in the game in the world at what they do. So, you know, if we want advanced chip making capabilities, you know, I think Washington's going to have to help them out. And I think you will see that sooner or later.
Well, and that's one of the key vulnerabilities everyone's worried about is TSMC being primarily located in Taiwan, which in the event of some sort of conflict with China in the Taiwan Strait, the U.S. losing access to those chips. So it would seem having some TSMC manufacturing in the U.S. could be beneficial from that point of view as well.
For sure.
Speaking of politics, President Biden was in Arizona yesterday to tout this Intel investment. Arizona is one of many states, I guess not so many states, frankly, that will be up for grabs as he tries to win re-election over former President Trump. What case is Biden making to voters about all this?
So I think, you know, the primary lever here is jobs. I think that's probably not a surprise. They are saying that this plan in Arizona that's getting CHIPS money today, this Intel plan, is going to create 7,000 construction jobs, 3,000 full-time, I imagine, jobs in the facilities, the chip-making facilities, once they come online. And then I think they're also expecting, you know, several thousand jobs in sort of the ancillary parts of this related to research, related to, you know, whenever sort of a new innovation tech hub comes in, you sort of see this agglomeration of various different equipment makers and that kind of thing. So that's going to be the line, I think. And it feeds into Biden's broader line regarding sort of all the big ticket legislation he's passed when it comes to like reinvesting in America. So the big one would be like the infrastructure bill, a lot of the investments in the Inflation Reduction Act. Chips and Science is sort of like the nerdy cousin of those bills, but there is definitely a jobs element there. So I think that's primarily what you're going to hear. Again, it's no accident that Biden chose Arizona to announce this big partnership with Intel. He could have gone to Ohio, where there's actually a much bigger Intel facility being built at the moment. He chose Arizona because he barely eked out a win there in 2020. It's going to be an incredibly competitive state. And I think any little boost that he can get there would be helpful. And he sees chips and his team sees chips as a potential boost for him.
Totally. And this does fit into kind of the broader narrative he's been selling about the largest investments in U.S. history in everything from clean energy to microchips to infrastructure. That's sort of, you know, one of his main economic messages, I think, is trying to convince voters that he's led the charge on like the rebuilding of America, right?
Investing in America. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, so Biden's taking a victory lap. On the other side of the political spectrum, it seems like it might be an awkward day for Republicans. All four Arizona Republicans in the House, for instance, voted against the CHIPS and Science Act that made this money available. Now their state seems to be benefiting from it. Have you talked to Republicans? What are they saying about all this?
So that is fair that those House Republicans voted against this legislation. Many congressional Republicans did vote for this legislation. And, you know, actually, I actually haven't seen what the sitting House Republicans have said, but I did see Carrie Lake, who's the Republican Senate candidate in Arizona, actually praising Intel and praising these plans today. Of course, she also lashed out at the president. And I think that is something you would hear as well from a variety of House Republicans and Republican lawmakers in Arizona and around the country. Not so much on the money that's going to the chip industry, but on the woke way in which the money is being spent. And I'm not making this up. There is a lot of concern regarding some provisions in the legislation that the Commerce Department is now imposing on these chip companies that essentially would require the companies to provide childcare for their employees. It would require them to basically hire only union workers. So, you know, again, the Republicans will say this is like, you know, chips gone woke and we can't support this. But many of those people who are making those arguments also voted for the legislation originally. So they're kind of trying to split the baby here. And I think you'll see Republicans continue to do that on chip investments. You know, we love the idea of bringing back high-tech manufacturing, but we hate the woke way in which you're doing it. Do less of that. And that's a good way to hit Biden while also making sure that your voters feel taken care of and that their economy is going to be humming in 2024.
Well, I think we have many more months left of this kind of politicking ahead around these investments in the economy. Brendan, thanks for being here to break it all down.
Sure, no problem. Thanks for having me.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. See you back here tomorrow.